Welcome to the Fiorella Files. I'm your hostess, Fiorella Nash, sometimes known by my nom de plume, Fiorella De Maria. I'm a writer of crime fiction and historical novels and an incorrigible bibliophile. It's wonderful to be making a programme on pretty much my favourite subject, books. On my show, I will be introducing you to books, classic and contemporary, that you must read, should enjoy reading, or should not touch with an 11-foot barge pole. Once a month, I will also be doing my special edition children's book show involving younger reviewers, talking about and sharing their favourite books. Now, I promised you all a fabulous book this week, and I'm sure you will not be disappointed by my choice. This is a fabulous non-fiction book, a biography no less, of an incredible, towering historical figure who was one of my heroes growing up. And I was so excited to read this biography and to have the chance to share it with you. My non-fiction choice of the week is therefore William Hague's biography of William Wilberforce, the great abolitionist campaigner who fought all his life for the abolition of the slave trade. He remains a revered figure in Britain, though he's not without some controversy attached to his name as well. All great figures have that too. And this book examines William Wilberforce's life in very, very great detail. William Hague is a name which should be familiar, certainly to British listeners, but also maybe to some listeners in the US. William Hague was the leader of the Conservative Party for some years, a rather disastrous leader of the Conservative Party, and one for whom I have to admit I had very little time at all. In fact, a Labour supporter I read about described him as Labour's secret weapon at the time, a bit like Corbyn was for the Conservatives this last election. To be fair to William Hague, he has in fact had a reasonably successful political career as a Member of Parliament. He has held various offices under the David Cameron government, and he is now in the House of Lords, having received a life peerage. He is the Right Honourable the Lord Hague of Richmond. I will say this, though I don't really appreciate him as a politician, I was very, very impressed with William Hague as a writer. And he wrote this biography of William Wilberforce when he was on the back benches, when he was taking rather a lower profile in Parliament. And he has written other biographies, and I hope he continues to write. In fact, I think he should dedicate himself full time to writing biographies, because there is a great art to writing a good biography. And William Hague, with this book, I don't know what his biography of Pitt is like, but that might be the next one on my reading list. He really shows his skills in this field. William Wilberforce is a towering figure. As I've said, every British schoolchild learns about him and about his struggle against the great evil of slavery. One thing that the philosopher Robert George pointed out some time ago is that everyone imagines that they would have stood up for justice in whatever era they lived. If they'd been in Nazi Germany, they would have resisted the Nazis to the death. If they'd lived at the time of the slave trade, definitely they would have been an abolitionist. They would never have owned a slave. Forgetting that the majority of people go along with whatever the current evil is, and very few people ever resist, and those who do resist are usually regarded as social animals who wreck everything and are a bit weird and awkward and deserving of everybody's contempt. William Hague, in this biography, he really takes his time describing the sort of political landscape in which the young Wilberforce began and maintained his campaign against slavery. The huge support there was for slavery, for economic reasons, for patriotic reasons, believe it or not. One of the arguments that was used to try to defend the slave trade was, well, if we don't have one, the French will simply take it all, and we can't have the Frenchies making money out of human flesh without us joining in. It sounds like an absolutely ludicrous argument now, but it was very, very common at the time in Parliament. For anyone who has campaigned for the pro-life movement, for example, the parallels are terrifying. The fact that slave traders deliberately lied repeatedly about the reality of slavery. And of course, in the past, it was so much easier to spread a lie like that without good telecommunications, without photography. Slave traders used to claim that slaves loved their lives, that they danced and they were happy and they were kept in perfectly comfortable conditions, and that it was in their interests to keep them in good conditions because you didn't want slaves falling ill and dying before they got to the market. They put together